every time we're in your presence. We see our wretchedness in your glory. And we desire to be more like you. So, Father, we thank you. You've washed us with your presence. And you brought us into a new place of your glory. Continue, God, as we behold you. Continue to transform us from glory to glory. You are worthy. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Easy to really establish the exact what God wants to share depending on the congregation, the atmosphere. So I believe this morning he wants me to talk to us today about the cross. The cross. The cross as it relates to God's time. God's time. The cross as it relates to God's time. Hallelujah. Before I say go into that, I just want to let all our Mandan family know how much we miss you. We really do miss you. We miss all the fellowship, all the times we are together. Thank God that what the enemy meant for evil, God has used it to bring us closer to God and closer to one another. Thank God for technology. But we are transitioning, as everybody now feels the relief of transition. So as we're waiting for our main sanctuary to be fully ready, we have to wait for that building to be open. We are going to continue to meet on ground here for every other service, but we'll continue the online on Sunday mornings. But those of you who feel comfortable, we have a lot of rooms here. You're welcome to come join us Sunday morning whenever you feel like it, until we're ready to move down as we maintain some of the basic advice and wisdom that has been given to us to keep everybody safe. You're welcome to come. Amen. Hallelujah. The cross, God's time. I've shared how there are three seasons of our lives. For me personally, of course, these three seasons are the seasons of calling, preparation, and assignment. when we become aware of our destiny and our calling, then when God puts us through the process, through the mission, and then now we enter into the fulfillment, the assignment. I believe we'll be sharing that for quite a while. I really believe my Zion is now in the season of his assignment as a body, as a church. But personally, I know without a doubt, I have also been entering into the season of my assignment. And I brought this, I shared this to say, this season we're in, after the various years God has used my Zion, or in any capacity that I've had the privilege to be trained and be serving, I believe the greatest sign and wake-up call to confirm my personal assignment and my Zion's calling is the coronavirus. I really believe many can forget it, but the reason I will not is it's an encounter for me. And you don't forget encounters. So, when I say I personally have entered the season of assignment, I've entered the season of everything God has been training, preparing, is for now. And one of those things is to be responsible, to be a watchman. The watchman means to prophetically, if God reveals anything to you or shows you something, you are obligated to obey God and not man. In a season where you become completely indifferent to what men think, because you are now standing on behalf of ignorant men for the redemption of men. So, the season means when God brings you to this point, you can only obey God. That way God will be able to release his love and redemption through your obedience. So in this season, as the Lord shows things and reveals things, we'll be sharing them. What I want to share today will look very, hopefully it's not hard, because most of you have read a lot of things. But no matter how it goes, I will still consider at the milk of the beginning of the season. And I pray that we'll be able to drink it and get ready for some meat in the future as we go forward. But times have changed. I forbid to share something with you that I don't want to leave. We have entered a new era, and that word new means everything to me. So the reason I keep saying new is I want to take responsibility for the things I say to you and the season we are in. And whatever the cost may be, that's why I'm saying that. So, I want to talk about the cross. Maybe a little bit different from what we have known. But the cross has always been, even before Jesus came, as a message. It was when Jesus came that he had to become the fulfillment, the revelation, the power of the cross. Amen.
Amen.
So, in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, Paul was writing, he made some expressions about the glory. The glory of God's creation and their habitation. He said that they are terrestrial habitations. They are celestial habitations. Terrestrial means the earth, the forest, the land. Celestial means the heavens. He says God has created different things and God has given them the place of their glory, their habitation. It says for the birds, the air, for animals, their habitation, they fill their domains, the forest, the bush. It says for the fish, things like that, I'm just giving you an example, in the water, they find their domain, they find their food, They find their livelihood in the water. And so many things. He talks about the stars, the glory of the stars is set to release light in that place of their glory. Everything has its glory. So he goes further now to talk about man. So if you read the rest of the epistles, and if you read especially the life of David, you see that man was created. Man's glory was to be in the presence of God. David says, "One thing do I seek after, and that I will. One thing I desire, and that I will seek after, is to be in the presence of the Lord, the habitation of God. I was lost long time ago." So, having this in mind, God did not create man to be separated from man. God did not put man on this path for man to be independent of him. It was sin that brought it. Sin that separated man from God. Because sin has convinced man it's okay to live independent of God. And then, sin has convinced man that this world we live in is everything. So all through after the fall of man, meaning fall of man means after man has now been separated from his own creator, and for the very purpose for which he was created, has become independent. Ever since then, God has been bringing the cross, all through man's history. What is the cross? The best way to understand the cross is a crossroad. If man, the time of man, because the Bible says there is a way that seems so good in the eyes of man. But the Bible says that way that looks so good, that seems good, that feels good, that feels good, everything about it is just to man is so good. But God, the one who created man, says the end of it, the end of it is what? Destruction. So, man's time is the horizontal. Is the horizontal this way? Huh? Okay. It's horizontal. Because man is always looking to man and to the earth and to the things around man. So, as long as man is looking that way and everything man is going, God says he leads, the end is destruction. So, in the wisdom of God, the cross is always God's last attempt to redeem man when man comes to the end of their way. Before they leave this earth and go into permanent destruction. So in God's mercy, when man is going this way, whether individually, corporately, or worldwide, there comes a time in man's, in God's wisdom, that he calls the fullness of time. Meaning, man doesn't know it, but Satan is convinced man to continue in that path, knowing that the cup of sin will fool and man will not know, and then judgment will come, and then Satan takes everyone into his final domain, which is an eternal hell when they leave this world. So, in God's mercy, every time in history where man gets getting to that end, individually can be our personal life, but more in a corporate one, I want to share tonight, man is getting to that end, God comes and intervenes. As God comes vertical from heaven to earth, earth to heaven. God comes with the plan of God into the earth and then takes man with the plan of God back to heaven. So the cross is God's intervention to the destruction of man. Or God's redemptive strategy for an ignorant, lost man. Basically, the cross is the love of God. manifested in the flesh. But this cross is not comfortable when we experience it. Why is it not comfortable? Because by culture, by way of life, by society, by generational living, when man is already accustomed, maybe a Hindu, a Muslim, a traditionalist, a religious person, a lost man, an atheist, whatever you belong, whatever that man has adopted as a religion, because the reason I mention some of these other things is there's only one God, and there's only one God that can point men straight to heaven. So every religion, every way of man, whatever man is doing, going this way is leading to destruction. So when man is now very comfortable, set in that way, or created what we call a mindset or a culture of living in that pattern, and somebody comes with a different culture from heaven and coming to take you back into that culture and to lead you to an eternal life, God's plan, when it comes, it's not going to be easy. There's no way anybody can wake up overnight and accept something against what they are already used. So every intervention of God's cross in the earth always appears like a shaking. And I want to read a scripture to you to describe the cross. Because every intervention of the cross during man's generation always comes as a shaking. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, Psalm 12, I read from verse 21, verse 22. But you, he's talking about the church, has come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. He's describing the heaven now, the activities of heaven. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator, meaning he is the author of the cross. It's only through him there could ever be a crossroad in the affairs of men. Mediator, intercessor. And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So here it makes it clear, Jesus is the only one that can bring a genuine crossroad to heaven. Verse 25, see that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escaped not, I want you to listen to the Bible. If they escaped not, who refused him that spoke on us? Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. So the message of the cross has always been, and many times people refuse it, and they never escaped. Now, he says, if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, listen to this, verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he had promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Heaven. Verse 27. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaking
as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken, they remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we will serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is the consuming fire. Really quickly, because of where we're going this morning, I just want to touch this and just leave it and move forward. When it says, yet once more, I seek not the earth only, but also the heavens. Once more. There are other scriptures in the Bible that confirm this, Haggai and so many. But once more. This is written in the New Testament, but it's saying once more. I will not only shake the earth, but the heavens. Now, if you study the book of Revelation and where what God will do in the last days, He says there will be a war in the heavenlies. We don't know what's going on, but the Revelation says there will come a time of it, and Satan, Michael the Archangel, will fight Satan and he will be cast into the earth. It doesn't mean he's still saying, but he will be taken out of the second heavenlies. Paul talks about principalities, wicked things in the heavens. So he says, I will shake not the earth, not just shaking man, I will shake the spiritual world. So that there will come a time that realm in the spirit will be released into the physical realm, where the greatest darkness on earth. Actually, the Bible says, because Satan knows his time is short, the wickedness and the evil on earth will have never been seen by man. We are heading towards that season. There's been darkness. But what will it look like when all the things that we held is preparing a path, they find a house, and then begin to do wickedness in the earth? Now, I want to read a few, just go through it, just a quick few stories. I don't want to go into that detail, but about shaking. Why? I was just wondering. God, you, why shaking? Because shaking means different things, but it means shaking. You have to be shaking. Why do I have to be shaking? Why do you have to shake everything and shake the whole, shake everything? Why? That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's what the cross does. Because the cross is the intersection of God and the plan of God towards, usually when man is heading, God gives wicked men long time, but God is only very redemptive. He doesn't want anybody in this world to die without His presence. Not one. That's why it's long suffering. So, let's look at a few places. The long suffering of God with it. What is the long suffering of God? Is the time God allows man, in man's free will, to live out what man, and meanwhile God is pleading with man, talking to man, preaching to man, addressing man, but still they are still going their way, going their way. So when man will no more listen, and God is begging, God is talking, that's called preaching, that's called teaching, that's called message, that's called reaching, that's everything in the gospel. When man is getting to that crucial point, when God knows there's not going to turn around anymore, God intercepts. And that intercession is always like a rod of correction. But it's always the last stroke of God's redemption for man. Now, a few examples of the cross. The Bible says in the days of Noah that the wickedness of men, the direction of men was going, was leading to destruction. It's corrupt, it's going so bad. So what happened? God called Noah and says, The end has come. The end has come. Man's cup is filled up. And they don't realize that the end of man is come. Their flesh, their ways. We're talking about kind of the earth, can be nations. So, they continue. And no, God told them, you know what? I want you to establish the cross. I want you to build something that will intercept, that will become redemptive to this generation. And the cross in Noah's days, Noah preached it while he was living it. He preached the cross while he was building the cross. And he preached about this coming, the rain, the storm that is coming. But when he was preaching, he was telling them there is a way out. There is a way out. This is what I'm building. This is what God is doing. And he continued preaching. And the Bible says the preacher of righteousness knew he repeated what God was telling him to speak to that generation. But somehow, that generation did not listen. With all the signs and all the wonders that was done, that generation did not listen. I want to read in the book of Luke chapter 17 how Jesus did this. Always about the end of something, of our generation. In the book of Luke chapter 17, it said, I read from verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the day of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Then likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Every thought shall it be in the day of the Son of Man with his rebellion. And he went on and on. And verse 32, but the big one says, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. So, in the days of Noah, now that Jesus made, he says the last days will be like the days of Noah. Now remember I told you, is normally this cross always comes when a generation or a nation or people are moving and they are coming to the end of that place of destruction. So you see an example in the days of Noah, the cross was the ark. But as they came to the end of the end, after years of Noah pleading and preaching and pleading and preaching, and that generation mocked and mocked and mocked and mocked, almost 100 years. Then God now said, my time has come. Remember, the message is the cross and God's time. There is always that window of time that is called God's time or Kairos moment. Where God now says, I preached all this, I have done everything I can do. Just not that I don't know what is in your heart, but I just want to show you how rebellious you are to be independent of me. So he gave them all these years just so they know. God already knows what is to make out. And he says, I'm only giving you 7 days to accept the cross. The cross can never be received by human understanding, because the cross can only be accepted by faith. Because the message of the cross is always foolishness to people that appear to be wise, and it appears weak to people that are strong. Why do I enter that ark when I have a home? Why do I enter that ark when my wedding is set? Why do I enter that ark when I'm building buildings? Why do I enter that ark? Why? He's building it on the land I'm smart enough. If he really is expecting for that act to move, why not build it by the water? It doesn't make sense. I'm smarter than that, and I just can't live in that place. If anything happens, we can make it. We can survive. The cross is the foolishness to those who consider it wisdom, and it's weakness to people who have power and might. That's why nations, up till today, the gospel is still the same way. So the cross of Noah was so foolish, so stupid. So God says, now my time has come. Noah, I'm giving them 7 days. And everything I've created, I'm giving them 7 days. Now, let them enter, receive the cross, receive Christ in their generation. And their cross, their Christ then was enter the ark. Guess what happened? The end has come. But God wanted to bring redemption. Only those who enter, those who accepted Jesus, those who entered, those who took the foolishness of what Noah was saying, those who didn't consider all their wealth and strength and just say, okay, I will enter this ark. I will leave my mansions and leave everything in it. 7 days, the door was shut. And that day, the rain started. My brothers and sisters, we can look back and imagine after those animals, the biggest miracle of their time, that generation will be running, banging on that door of that ark, banging, but it was too late. Because the message of end time is not about just our end. Every generation will see the message, the end time. So anyway, that's about Noah's days. Then it came to the days of Lot. He mentioned Jesus. He said, it's like those days. It will, these days we live in will look like that. So what happened in the days of Lot? There was a man called Abraham that loved God so much. God revealed to him, like he did to Noah, that Sodom was about to perish. Their cup is full. Their evil is mighty. Now understand, the days of Lot, the days of Noah and the days of Lot, go study the history behind those. They were not, the Bible really said, they were buying, selling, described that these were successful generations, physically. That's why the ways of men never saw it to be anything bad. Life was wonderful. That's why they were independent of God. So in the days of Lot, I want you to know that Abraham started praying and crying out to God, spare. And Abraham started negotiating, oh, this city is Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you telling me if you have 50 people there, you won't spare it? If you have 45 people, if you have 40, if you have... Abraham kept going. It's like, how could that be? Listen, it doesn't mean they didn't have religion there. They didn't have things going there. Listen, Lot lived in that place. It's like a church. But God, Abraham got to 10. If there will only be 10 people there, you know what God said? God said, if I find 10, if there are 10 righteous people in that city of Sodom and Gomorrah, I will not destroy it. That caused Abraham to tremble. Because he's now beginning to look at things with my eyes. Like I do. So, the angels, the Lord, they went to Sodom. And they got to Sodom. Now, the days of Noah, there was a sign and wonder with the animals to convey that generation. This time, angels came and angels preached to Lot. Lot brought them to his house. Angels did what it took to convince those people. They refused. Then look at the days of Noah, at the days of Lot. The angel now sent Lot to go to his family, to his, all their relatives, their family, the family of his daughters, fiancés or whatever, to go and talk to them. Lot was experiencing heaven. Went to talk to the people, came back, was now more confused. Why? Because Lot now became hesitant of the miracle he just saw. Lot now was looking at what people are saying. Lot, this person is getting married. This man is going to build his business. This is what is life is booming. Life is as good as ever. Things are poor. Everything is going well. Everything is going great. Buying, selling, the business. Sodom was a very beautiful, very, very successful place. That's why Lot chose it when Abraham said, choose where you want to go. He chose that place because it was a very, very fertile place. When these people finished using the physical realm, this way that is still looks wise, looks to great in men's eyes, Lot was so impacted that Lot and his family went and sat down. In the presence of angelic sign from heaven, that this is what God is come to do, to save. Now, if you read that story, in Genesis, the angels now had to drag Lot, drag his children, and drag them out of Sodom. Literally drag them out of Sodom because of the prayer of Abraham. And in dragging them, look at Jesus. He's talking about the last days. This is Jesus making the statement here in Luke. He says, remember Lot's wife. What did Lot's wife do? The angel said, don't look back. Go forward. Just keep running. Just come with them. Anyway, where we're going, I would have shown you even Lot, how much Lot is even being affected by making a decision even when angels were already moving to choose a place for safety for him. As they were dragging them, Lot's wife turned and looked back. See, what God was saying is not the action, in the heart. Describe Lot's wife like the church, the only church left in Sodom, among the seven churches of Revelation. And in that church, Lot's wife heart has never been with God. He was still in the material place. He was still in the worldly church. She looked back because that's what she wants. She became a pillar of salt. My brothers and sisters, we can go through different crossroads in history. There was a cross, a message of the cross in the days of Joseph. God looked at the earth again and saw that man has gone this way, and destruction was coming. There was no way they would escape it. There was no way they would escape it. So every generation where destruction is coming, definitely is coming to an end, God sends the cross. And in that generation, the cross was Joseph. Joseph was able to interpret the times and the signs of his time. When kings were being shaken, Joseph interpreted that season. But what he was prepared for it. He received a vision about it. So what happened? Joseph interpreted it, and Joseph was able to prepare for the time ahead. That's the cross. Like Noah. Noah prepared for the time of that generation. And when that time came, Joseph's preparation became the redemption for that generation. The cross saved man and redeemed the earth from 7 years of dry famine. Amen. We can go on and on, but I just want to make one final reference. There's so many crosses. The ultimate cross, the real cross, the one that Jesus now preached and gave men understanding, was his time. And he preached about the cross. And he says, this time around, this is the ultimate redemption. What is the cross? The cross is always when men come to an end, the way they are going. And when it was time for God now to bring judgment on the earth, Jesus says, God says, judge me. So he, his own redemption now was, I will take the place of man. And the sin and the iniquity and the judgment that would have come on the world came on Jesus. And he died on that cross. And he went to Hades and preached, took the spirit away captive, preached, and then rose again. That's only God at that moment who saved man. Let me tell you something about when man has gotten to this point, we call the end. I've shown you the end is not always about it. And it's always come to man when iniquity is full. Israel was set apart by God to be a nation. God made this awesome covenant. The love God had for Israel, the covenant he made with Israel through Abraham, unequal to any other. God was everything to them. God fought their battles. God blessed them. God made them the greatest nation. God made, gave them names, gave them kings, did all. But all through the life of Israel, instead of being what God called them to be, in light to the nations, they started gradually rebelling and rebelling, being independent, until the nation of Israel went into chronic rebellion. And all through their years, God will warn them. That's called preaching. I'm preaching. I'm begging and talking to prophets, to messengers, to priests. But they always come different intervals of their life that they never listen. And three things happens to Israel as a crossroad. One is the pestilence. The pestilence becomes the only way God will reverse or try to get the attention. And the pestilence comes in form of disasters of different level. Can be disaster, calamity, or catastrophe. Then, when Israel fails to turn back to God, and they continue going in the way of the world, this way that seems so right in your eyes, God now sends the next aspect of correction or awakening, and it's called famine. Famine, because now everything they depend on is collapse, and they have no way but no food. It happened in their history several times. Did God not love them of covenant? But they become adulterers of fornicating. They marry their heart to the gods of this world. So, when the famine does not cause them to turn around, because they will still say, we don't care, we'll just serve, we'll do what we want to do. Then, what if God steps back? And then now the enemy comes and takes them captive. And they go through serious, God now lets the enemy be the one to correct them. After the enemy corrects them, then God now will now join the enemy and then bring them Israel back to himself. That's the processes God has used to redeem Israel through the age. So, this cross that Jesus came was another interlude in the life of Israel. They have now gone so far, and Jesus says, all the day long, like a mother hen, I've been trying to gather you and gather you to prophets, gather you, do everything. All three generations, he's talking about all the ways God has tried to get Israel back to that place of covenant relationship. He said, but they will not let him. He said, now, your destination is by the door. You will not have the opportunity to see me until you become desperate for me again. Paraphrase. So Paul says in Romans, Israel were cut off and became hardened like the world. They became blinded as the world became blinded without the knowledge of God. And so what did Jesus do? It was a redemption to bring the rest of the world in. As that's why the church was born in this case. And the church now becomes the light of God. That redemption came to the cross. Jesus was judged. So now, this is the season we're in. Before Jesus went to the cross, he warned them about the season, the hour they're coming to. And after the cross, he rose from the dead, and he warned them, and this is the warning he gave to them, before he left. The first one he says, Luke chapter 21, verse 34, he says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with sophistry and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day will come upon you unaware. For as a trap shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, that word watch is stay in that place of prayer. Stay like a watchman, especially when you see these days coming. Watch you therefore, be diligent to be in the presence of God. Enter that ark. Watch you therefore, and pray what? Sometimes, no, always, especially in the time, that you may be accounted worthy to escape. What did Jesus say? He says, he spoke in that time, they did not escape. How will they escape now? But in case solution, he says the key is enter the ark in Noah's days. In Joseph's days, prepare the food. In Israel's days, it's talking about watching. Today he says it's a different ark. Ark Psalms 91. And he says it's a place of watching. Have you seen a watchman that watch means you must stay alert? How do you stay alert? He says by praying always, staying in the place of prayer, that you may escape because of the darkness that is upon the earth. And you can worry that you may escape and that these things shall come to pass so that you stand before the Son of Man. Now, let's read another thing for us here. That's Luke. This is what Jesus is saying before we read. He was warning the disciples. I was warning the disciples. He says, this season stay in prayer. So before he left, the disciples went to Jerusalem. He told them to wait there in prayer in that time of visitation. And they went and literally stayed in prayer every day. They didn't care how long until Pentecost came. So many people heard instruction. So many people heard the warning. Only 120 sustained that daily way. And today, they became the foundation of which God trusted the church to be released. Now, the Bible talks about our time. I can't go into all the details you all know. But based on this message, we are living in such a time as that. And the time we are living in is like the days of Noah, the days of Lot, and all these things. So we are now in that window of time where we don't really know. Because everybody has preached for years that Jesus is coming on this stuff. But without going into breaking down some things, one thing that today every one of us can testify is an awakening is the coronavirus. Somebody said, I lived in the days of Noah. If I saw the animals, that would change my mind. Somebody said, if I lived in the days of Joseph, I would have prepared some food. Why would I not listen? I mean, it was a breaking news. Joseph said, this is what is coming, this is what is going to happen. 7 years of, it was a breaking news. It was well known. Only Joseph was fit to him. He was foolish. Israel would never have believed they would be rejected and cut off. Today, I don't know anyone that coronavirus did not wake up in some way. The first time in human history that I've experienced a prophetic interlude. Very clear sound. We've talked about it in the past, I don't want to go through it. And guess what? The very words of Jesus is echoing in this season. Watch and pray that you will escape. Watch and pray. God knows why I say watch and pray. God knows why I say stay in the presence of God. God knows why I told no one, let them go into the ark. You always do it behind. Why? Because what is coming? Remember 2,000 years ago, Jesus took the judgment. But this is what is happening now. The ark is now Jesus. If you are living in this season, if you accept Jesus, you are entering into the ark. Because he says, what I just read to you in Hebrews, he says, I shook the earth before, but now no more just the earth, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken in the earth. So that the only thing that will survive, that will be established, are those things that cannot be moved, and that's Jesus. And only when you have him, can you stand. And then if you have him, you need to be in his presence. You need to be in prayer. Daily! That's what my Bible says here. I'm not saying it has to always be with the crowd, but God is saying this is the time for you to keep your eyes open on the Word of God. Not CNN, not Fox News, not ABC. They are human, they are not prophetic. So, my brothers and sisters, I want to let you know, as I was crying to God, I was crying. I'm not crying about the world. The world is ignorant. The world doesn't even know where it's coming. The world lives by the world will keep going the way they're going. I was crying, like the Bible says, Jeremiah, Isaiah. I was crying, saying, God, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. How can this thing happen? How can everybody be so? How can? Why would anybody not be in prayer? Why would anybody not be in the presence or seeking God? Why would anybody not surrender completely at this moment to God? It's been really bothering me. So finally, the Lord gave me a scripture. He said, and this scripture is in the book of Isaiah. In the last time, you can read in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord. Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, and God touched him with a fire, and Isaiah was purified. And then all of a sudden, God said, now I'm commissioning you to an assignment to the people of Israel. Then Isaiah quoted a scripture that Paul repeated in the book of Acts 28. But Paul repeated it a different way. He quoted that scripture the way we can understand it. Why did Paul quote the scripture? Paul came to the end and he was overwhelmed and cannot believe the Jews are still so rebellious about the gospel. He's been trying to preach to them, they've been persecuting him. Everything he's done to preach to them ends up persecuting him. So this was the last words of Paul before he died. He was like, what is wrong with the Jews? And that's where I came. I said, what is wrong with us, the church? We will experience something like this and still be plaguing. I don't understand. And the Lord said, this one was it. Say, go unto these people. That's the church, Israel. Say, hearing you hear. He said, so go and say, hearing you shall hear,
and shall not understand. Then you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of the people is what God is hardened, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes were closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted and saved. The Lord said, Son, if you preach two generations, they don't listen. Signs and wonders. There's another place that says, you show signs and wonders, they didn't believe. God has one more redemptive plan. When people are hardened like this, their hearts are hardened, they hear, woo, they go back and sleep again. Go back to the same routine. They hear, they go back again. Go back. Everybody's going back to normal, to the same routine. Without God, intentional. God says, I don't give up. I have one more plan. You know what the plan is? Shake it. He says, I will shake. So that this time, I will shake everything that is holding these people. You remember, it says, let's not be drunken, surfeiting. What he's talking about, they have now become married to worldliness. The world is going this way. Everything the world is seeing, everything the world is, everything of the world, they are going that way. Instead of us to go this way. So the only way God redeems is out of fire. And it's called shaking. What is shaking? Three ways I shared about shaking. It's always three ways. The final way God can save any rebellious generation that has set on their ways to bring them back to Him is through pestilence, through famine, and through the sword. And I want to say to you, that's not what we're talking about today. Coronavirus is milk. I want to repeat it. The reason it's milk is you are not satisfied. You want food, you will get food. The milk, you drink it, you go back and you're hungry. But not for God. My brothers, the milk is coming. I want to say to you, the end is here. God never does radical things like this if it's not the end. He only brings the cross at this level when men cannot reverse their ways. And He brings it always towards the end. So what you see with coronavirus is the beginning of the end. And the reason you see this magnitude of shaking is the beginning of God's redemptive cross to a rebellious, stubborn generation of church. And if after hearing this word, you are not repentant, you are not coming to prayer, my sister, God is no more preaching to you. You will see the shaking. Everybody will feel the shaking. But those who are in God, this is the best moment in life. You are going to see the glory of God rise on those who fear God. Those who are diligent, this money you are looking for is for those who fear God. The world is for those who fear God. But how do you fear God? You have to be diligent to be in His presence. That's what He created us for. Now He's begging us to come to His presence and to live that life in His presence. So, I want to close by saying to you, the time to beg you to be saved is over. If you have not been serious till now, you cannot. If you hear what I'm saying and you're not committed, you cannot. I'm not talking to the world alone. I'm talking to me, to the church. Jesus warned. The only way you know you are taken over by the world is your daily commitment to God is lacking. He said that you're not watching. Something is taking you over. And the only way God will redeem us, the shaking has started, another is coming. They are lined up. I can tell you what is lined up.
because God has revealed. But the days are gone when somebody is trying to prove, I see this, I see that, no, it will come suddenly. Get ready for it. You've been told many times you didn't believe it. Then it doesn't happen the day they are talking about you mock the people. No, nobody will tell you anymore. You sit there and wait. Don't take God serious. Let it come when you know much. Coronavirus has woken us and praying that we should be in the right place in the ark. And the ark means daily seeking God with personal glory. Thank God for a church like Mount Zion today that has a daily place of meeting God. At least your Pentecost. Many have ears, but they're not hearing. Eyes they're not seeing. I just pray, Father, you love us so much. I remember when I was young, I was trying to steal money and hide it in my pocket. If my dad did not meet me today, covetousness would have been naturally a blessing to me, be free from. Father, your wisdom, the only hope we have is the cross. Do not deny us the cross. Father, there is a way that is right in our eyes. Every man is right in his own eyes. But it's only your word that is truth. Father, please do not let anyone at the sound of my voice miss this moment to turn to you. Let not correction be our portion.
Amen.
Let obedience be our part. Father, I pray. May we come back to you just with all our hearts. But if not, what you did for the prodigal son, do it for us. Bring us back. But don't let us be hooked to those things that seem so good and so right in our eyes. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you.